coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and if you'd like to call us, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's for this hour. That's 1-800-259-5791. But hold your calls until we ask for them, because we have with us on the line Mr. Paul Proctor. Paul, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing just great. And, of course, one of our very good friends, Barrett Schoes, had suggested we talk to Paul. He's been very concerned, as I have and as Barrett has, about what's happening to the Christian church in America. So would you like to sort of tell us a little bit about yourself and how it was that you got concerned about this issue that most Christians just are so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good, they just don't understand how they've changed the message and the music of the church?
Well, a few years ago, about 1998, my church started changing.
And did the minister maybe come in sometime? Maybe he'd worn a suit before that, and then one day he didn't have his suit coat on, and is that the way they did it?
Well, it was a very traditional Southern Baptist church, or at least I thought it was at the time, and one day he invited me to lunch for some reason, and in the conversation in passing, he began to relate to me how he desired to take the church in a new direction. And I thought, well, he's just thinking in terms of a non-denominational direction or a more contemporary direction. And I had no concern about it. I really didn't give it much thought. And over the course of weeks and months, I began to see the church change in some very dramatic ways. And couldn't really explain it. I couldn't put a finger on what it was. And then,
but you just knew something was different, and it just wasn't as it had been before. Did they change the message of the messages at all? The sermons at all?
Yeah, everything began to change. I think, of course, the music changed as well. But for me, the most important thing was that the message changed. Everything just seemed to carry a reoccurring theme of tolerance, diversity, and unity. It sounded strangely like what was coming from the pulpit or the podium of Bill Clinton, and I thought this was rather strange, being a conservative congregation such as this, and it is quite a contrast, and it didn't make any sense. One Sunday he would be right on; he'd be very conservative, very biblical, but then the next Sunday it would be. It would sound very, very tolerant. It'd sound like, you know, something a politician might say who's seeking to build a constituency or something.
Well, now, was he getting these sermons pulled down off the internet? You know, because Rick Warren has a whole flock of sermons there, so that the minister really doesn't have to spend any time in it at all. He doesn't have to think about it. It's all there. It's all sort of canned, because this is all really a canned means of manipulating the congregation.
Yeah, and at the time, I really didn't. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what all this was that was happening. And then I was listening to a friend of yours, John Loeffler, on the radio one time, and he had with him Dean Gocher as a guest, and they were talking about the church growth movement, the Hegelian dialectic. And then towards the end of the program, he mentioned the Willow Creek Association, and all of a sudden it dawned on me what was going on at my church, because see, my church was a member of the Willow Creek Association, and I began to put all the pieces together.
All right, well, we're going to be back here with Paul Proctor in just a few minutes to talk about what I believe is the most dangerous thing that's happened to Christendom in the last 100 years. And that is this, the whole idea of what we're going to just improve on Christianity. We're going to bring everybody into Christianity. We're going to use the church to change society. But, of course, what's really going to happen to the souls of men? We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And today we have with us is Paul Proctor, and he's talking about what happened in his church. What part of the country was that church in, Paul?
Nashville, Tennessee.
And, of course, how long ago did this church begin to change, and the music began to change, and the message began to change?
I joined in 1995, and it began changing in about 1998. That's when I first...
Now, was the general congregation told that the minister had made a unilateral decision to change the direction of the church and bring it in line with this corporate management system that is being taken and put into the Christian church to manipulate members of the church?
No, nobody knew what was going on. Not even the staff knew what was going on. Only a few choice members seemed to grasp who or what was taking hold of the church.
Well, what's wrong with the old-time religion? What's wrong with preaching the gospel? What's wrong with preaching, the traditions of the church and the history of the church and the history of Christianity? Why do they have to try to improve it with secular means and with secular music?
Well, you see, they want to entertain people now. They want to draw crowds using entertainment instead of proclaiming the whole counsel of God. You know, as Charles Spurgeon put it, instead of feeding sheep, we're amusing goats now. They're trying desperately to make the church look just like the world in order to be loved and accepted by it.
Well, how did the church really change? What did you notice?
The whole presentation changed. You know, we had greeters all of a sudden. We had a pulpit, a clear, what is that stuff, acrylic, a pulpit made out of acrylic that they could take down and put up so that they could put on drama presentations.
Well, a lot of drama, and more entertainment than, entertainment more than dogma.
Yeah, I mean, we had puppet shows, we had all sorts of big presentations, big bright lights, big screens to watch movies and film clips and all sorts of aesthetically pleasing tools. I like to call them carnal tools that they try to do spiritual work with.
In other words, instead of rely upon the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, now we're using the words of men and the techniques of men to reach people. And you just hold your thought. I'd like to get your response to that, but we want to bring our other stations on. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is Paul Proctor, and he's telling us what happened back there in Tennessee. So go ahead, tell the rest of the story, Paul.
Well, they would have you believe that the Holy Spirit was responsible for all these strategies and techniques and programs that they were bringing in, that they wanted you to believe that the Lord had actually come up with all these wonderful things and had blessed these people in such a way as to use these tools. You know, it's a very pragmatic approach to doing church. I kind of look at it as if it's driven by three things: pragmatism, pleasure, and pride. Pragmatism being whatever works, pleasure being meeting felt needs, easy parking, comfortable chairs, lots of music, and food courts, and aerobics classes, and things that, you know, traditionally had nothing to do with the church or Christianity in general. And then also, the third thing being pride, and pride being that so many of the sermons are based in Freudian and Jungian psychology, revolving around the building up of self-esteem.
What's that have to do with Christianity? I mean, we have our self-esteem because, God so loved us that he came to earth for us to die for our sins. But why do you have to get into the psychology? But isn't this the sort of technique they use in corporate management?
Well, you have to understand that these folks want you to believe that Jesus loves us so much, he loved us so much that he came to die on a cross to make you feel better about yourself. And the Christians' purpose, like that of the church, is to facilitate this gospel by teaching you and me how to love ourselves as much as Jesus does. And see, that's the twisted psycho gospel of self-esteem. I mean, esteem is pride, Dr. Stan. If you look it up, the primary definition for esteem is pride. So if you put self in front of it, you're talking about pride in self. And how can one be humble before an almighty God and be proud of one's self when we are comprised of a fallen nature?
Amen to that. Well, we very seldom talk about the fact that we're all sinners saved by grace. Now, what happened then as this process began to spread throughout the church Sunday after Sunday? And I suppose it came in very slowly so that the average individual really was tricked into not understanding what was going on.
Well, it's all very gradual, you see. If they did it too quickly, then it would alarm and even frighten too many people. But I think our pastor may have done it faster than maybe the folks at Willow Creek or Saddleback designed it to be implemented, because there was quite an exit of members that occurred, especially after I wrote an article and published an article about the transformation in my church. Because you see, it was more than just what was going on in my church. It was what was going on in literally thousands of churches around the country.
And I think this is what people don't understand. This is a very well-organized, very well-financed, and very well-orchestrated movement that is affecting thousands of churches.
Yes, it's taken over quite a few, and I think next year, Rick Warren has had the 40 days of purpose seminars in about, 4,000 churches this last year.
Right, they're planning on 15,000 this year.
Right, right, and so they're not through. They're anything but wrapping this thing up. It's a long-term project.
Well, don't you have to sign contracts and various things like that, about your loyalty to these concepts? And don't you have to take certain classes, so they can find your spiritual gifts and fit you in the right place in the church? And then you have to attend these small groups where they dialect to consensus?
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, they want to box you into their program, and so they try to, to head off any problems that they might have from those who might object, who might see a spiritual or scriptural error to what they're doing. And so they put covenants together, membership covenants, that you sign to guaranteeing that you won't speak out against the leadership or the programs involved.
They want you to sign a covenant that says you won't speak out against what's happening?
Yeah, they believe you should just follow the leadership without question. That seems to be the modus operandi.
I thought that we were supposed to follow Jesus Christ, not men.
Well, the way they look at it, they are Jesus Christ's leaders, and therefore they've been given this authority, and we're supposed to just trust them and obey God by obeying them.
Well, now, what happens after you wrote a letter that was an article that was critical of what was happening in the church? Were you called in, or because I know in certain many churches, people are actually asked to leave the church if they're critical in the least bit?
Well, I'd already left. It was about 2 weeks, I think, after I left that I actually wrote an article entitled "The People's Church," and needless to say, they weren't happy about it. I did send the staff copies of it, but I didn't pass it around to any members of the church or anything like that. But funny thing, it seemed to have made it around to quite a few, because many had been recognizing the problem, or had realized that something was wrong, but they couldn't put their finger on it. And until someone helped explain it to them, they really didn't know what to think of it.
Were you using all the different Bible translations in other words, instead of one Bible translation, the Word of God, all these various Bible translations to so confuse you, you don't know what the Word of God is?
Yeah, that seems to be what happens in class. You know, I've noticed that when you use a lot of different translations, it seems that what is really lost, people begin closing their Bibles, and they all of a sudden the absolute truth of God is not nearly as important as it once was, and we all start sharing our feelings and our opinions and what we think about this and what we think about that, and it just turns into a big therapeutic exercise.
So what about the music? Did they bring in this loud, boisterous music with a real beat there? Very disturbing to older people. You know, this is the sort of thing you'd see at the rock concerts. Did they do that in your church as well?
Yeah, the music changed, and we had a beautiful choir and orchestra, very large choir, very large orchestra. And the pastor just came in one day, and he said, in so many words, "I'm sorry, but your ministry here is through." And he just dismissed them. And he brought in some young, attractive soloists who, in more of a band or what we used to call a combo type of organization, and lots of solos, and you know, just really rocked up, jazzed up arrangements.
Well, you know, I've heard Rick Warren talk, and he says, you know, a lot of people criticize our music. That's the biggest criticism we get. But all this music was created by God, and so God wants to bless this music because God created this music, and this looks to me like the music that comes right out of the pit of hell. I mean, this is the sort of thing you see at the rock concerts where the people are wearing their black leather and gyrating their hips and everybody's half stoned. That's the sort of music, in many respects, we brought into the church. Why would we do something like that?
Well, you know, Rick Warren, as you mentioned, Rick, he's quoted as saying there's no such thing as Christian music. There's just Christian lyrics, implying that any and all music is acceptable for worship as long as the lyrics are Christian, whatever that means. He says, "I believe that one of the major church issues will be how we're going to reach the next generation with our music. But if it's music that brings us to repentance and faith in Christ, my question is, why didn't Jesus just round up 12 top-notch musicians to be his apostles and just sing to us? You know, why spend so much time lecturing everyone about the will of God?"
Well, what about repetition? I've seen this in some churches, this repetition, almost like you're putting people into a state of hypnosis, like a mantra, over and over and over again, the same words. Did they do that there as well?
Yeah, they sure did. That's exactly what it turned to eventually, just almost a chant. Just almost a, even though they might be using Christian-flavored lyrics, if you will, I mean, it would still just be almost a chant. It's the only way I could, just like you were practicing some other pagan religion or something. It even though they'd use modern instrumentation and young people to do it, it was really strange. I mean, he'd have choreography. He'd have the congregation go through little choreographed motions and so forth, and it was almost kind of a monkey see, monkey do kind of atmosphere.
Well, at least in your area, why some of the people saw through this and they were very unhappy, and did people start leaving the church? What happened?
Well, they did. They left in mass, almost in waves. I don't know if it was, if the article I wrote seemed to have played a large role. I think somebody got a copy of it and started running off copies and passing it around, and I found out about it sometime later after joining other church.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with Paul Proctor. We're talking about the church growth movement that's sweeping Christendom today, and it has another agenda. And if you read the writings of Rick Warren, he's going to tell you they're going to change the world. They're going to use the Christian church to change the world, but what God are they going to be worshiping? And of course, what sort of changes are going to come about? We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five rules, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we carry the Miracle 2 soap products. We can't make any claims about them medically, but we can tell you that an awful lot of people who use the Miracle 2 soap products really swear by them. We've had people tell us really how it seems to have helped them in so many ways that some people have said it's helped their rashes. In fact, for myself, it helped a rash that I had, and other people say it helps acne in children. And certainly the soap has many, many uses. Some people actually put it on their flowers. Says it makes them grow better. Right? You just have to try that. I haven't actually done that myself, but I know my wife sometimes sprays this on the counter, and the insects don't like to come back again. Certainly, the people will use the neutralizer. It helps the upper intestinal or the lower intestinal tract, and I've used the gel. It's good for about anything, burns or just about whatever you have of rashes, and of course there's a lotion. Anyway, you can get a special introductory author of the Miracle 2 products simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, this is a reduced price. Try the various products, see which ones you like, and hopefully you'll become a dedicated user, just as so many other people. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we hope that some of you will seriously consider getting a Phenopoly set. Phenopoly is a board game that is used to teach children and grandchildren, and yes, even old folks like me, how to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, they've dumbed down our students so effectively in the schools today. Phenopoly will, in 16 hours, undo a great deal of the damage that has been done by the government's dumbing down process in the schools. What a wonderful gift to give a child. And most of these programs are to teach phonetics are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95. It's five board games, two bonus games, and we throw a couple of books in with that so that you'll understand how we got in the mess we are today as far as our education. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess this afternoon, is Paul Proctor. We're talking about the church growth movement, which is sweeping across America today. As they come in, and they very subtly, without really telling people what they're doing, using the structure of the church, begin to change the music and bring in this music with a beat. And for those who don't understand, music can control society. This is what Aristotle and Plato wrote about, how music could control society. And music is changing our society because it has an impact on how your brain works. And then, of course, they begin to change the music, the message of the church. And everything was entertainment. Let's get away from that old dogma and the traditional preaching of the gospel to something that makes us feel better about ourselves. Is that pretty well what it was about, Paul?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things involved. Being a musician and doing research on music, I understand that loud sustained pulsating and repetitive noise doesn't just damage the eardrum, but it also damages the entire body, especially frequencies below 100 hertz and levels above 110 dB. The more intense and unidirectional the sound waves are, the more cell damage will actually incur from the speakers, from the loudspeakers, and the more pain-killing substances our bodies release into our system to anesthetize the pain.
You're talking about endorphins, then.
Right, endorphins, and I mean, it's one of the reasons loud music is so appealing to young people at concerts, because they don't just hear it, they feel it, and that's required, or that's Rick Warren's design, is that they feel it. He said when addressing an audience at Liberty University, he told the young people there, you know, get rid of the organ and speed up the tempo of music. You know, the message doesn't change, but the methods do. He said, in speaking at a building a purpose-driven church seminar, he said, loud, raucous music with a driving beat is the kind of music his folks listen to. He said, we're really, really loud on a weekend service. Going on to quote, he said, I say, we're not going to turn it down. Now, the reason why is baby boomers want to feel the music, not just hear it. See, I mean, it's, you know, when these endorphins are released into your system, you know, it's like getting high. So, you know, they may be claiming to have a spiritual experience, but I just call it a drug-related incident, because, you know, the kids are just getting high off this music.
Well, you know, I thought that the whole purpose of Christianity was to teach the gospel, not to go after an experience, because this is not going to be an experience that comes from God. This is an experience that's created by men to manipulate people. And I really think this whole thing is built upon manipulation. What do you think, Paul?
Well, absolutely. They're giving people what they want because it's based on consumerism. I mean, you know as well as I do, they both Rick Warren and Bill Hybels, just like Robert Shuler, they all, you know, went around their communities, went around their neighborhoods asking, not the Christians, but asking the lost, what kind of church they would like to have. That's not what the Lord intended for us, you know, to build a church for lost people. The church is for the redeemed. The church is for Christians. It's not for the lost. If the lost can come there and hear the gospel preached and be saved, that's wonderful, but it's, you know, Like we said about Spurgeon, the church's purpose is not to entertain goats, and that's, you know, that's exactly what we're doing right now.
But of course, we're getting a lot of people in, and what the people on the other side are going to say, but look, we're trying to bring these people to Christ, and so, well, this is the only way to get them into church, and they're coming into church in large droves now.
Well, they're, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're just seducing them in with a lot of loud music and feel good philosophies. I mean, there's another substance that is released in the body when it's exposed to stress, not just by music. I mean, music is one of the things, but adrenaline. I mean, you can you're familiar with the term adrenaline junkie, but loud music, like all sorts of stressful events, produces an adrenaline rush, and that can also affect your behavior in a not so positive way. And you combine that with the endorphins, and you've got a crowd that can be worked up into a frenzy and eventually get out of control. And the point of it all is that I don't think they're bringing the lost. I don't think they're transforming the lost. That's their thing. They want to transform the lost as if they actually have the power to transform anyone. They're not transforming the lost. They're transforming Christians back into the world. And I think that's the real agenda here. It's they're turning the church on its head and reversing what the church was set out to do.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul Proctor. And, of course, we'll be glad to take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and one thing I'd like to recommend to everybody in the listening audience is you seriously consider setting up an Institute of Constitution in your home, in your neighborhood, in your church. The Institute of the Constitution is designed to teach you about our Christian heritage, about our Constitution, about our Declaration of Independence, about our Federalist Papers, about our Bill of Rights, and that one time everybody knew America was a Christian nation. And the foundations of our freedom are based upon limitations to the power of the government, and it was known that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But that's no longer true, because we've taken God out of our schools, we've taken God out of our government. Oh, we have the politicians who say, God bless you, but and God bless America, but look and see how they live their lives, and then ask, are they really serious? If you'd like to set up an institute in your community, call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. We need these set up in every community to begin to rekindle that belief in our way of life that once made America the envy of the world. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will want to think about getting a big Berkey water filter or Berkey light water filter. They're great to have around. And not only that, but the Berkey water filters change the taste of the water. If you don't like the way it tastes, why, it makes the water taste ever so much better and removes most herbicides and pesticides and all those things that you really don't want in your water. Now, it doesn't take out the fluoride, but you can get a special post filters for either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. The Big Berkey, made of stainless steel, is $239.95. The Berkey Light, made of Lexan plastic, is $199.95. And we recommend both of them. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you want to request a Berkey water filter, call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have Mary calling. I assume that's Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mary.
Yes, hi. I just was concerned because I have a son who's got a disability, you know, got Down syndrome, and he loves the music that rock music that's damaging him. He turns it too loud and just sucks him right in. And he knows it's evil. He knows the words are, and I don't know how to convince him because it's emotional.
It is all emotional. He gets this rush that Paul is talking about.
Yeah.
Paul, what would you say to Mary, who has a boy, a son, who does he have, what sort of a disability does he have?
He's moderate. He has Down syndrome.
He's a moderate Down syndrome. Yeah. You know, is there any way you can get him to understand that this is not honoring God and the most important thing he can do is...
Yeah, he does, but then it's like, maybe it's because he's in the public school system, and maybe it's just because it's addictive.
And it really is addictive, but the thing is that they're bringing this into our churches for our normal kids as well. And this is what's so... I really believe
so it's my other
evil.
Problem. I want to find a church that doesn't have that kind of music, and that's my next goal.
All right, fine. Well, you're gonna. We don't really know too much about what's going on there in Buffalo, but if somebody out there in Buffalo does have a good church, why don't you give us a call, and then Mary could leave her number with us at 1-800-544-8927. If we hear of a good church, well, we'd be glad to put you in touch with them.
Okay, thank you so much.
God bless you.
Okay.
And I think that people out there, some of them do realize what's happening with this music, but I think that there's a tendency on the part of most people not to want to rock the boat. Have you run into this?
Well, absolutely, and that's exactly what Warren and Hybels both capitalize on. They're hoping that you won't rock the boat. There's an interesting little series of articles on Rick Warren's website at pastors.com And it's the series of articles, I believe, is titled How to Transition an Established Church. And you can find out, I mean, it's like I told you one time before, it's like reading the enemy's playbook. You can look through there and see exactly what it is they're doing and how, I mean, it's like reading the history of my ex-church and how it was transformed. And here this was back in 1998, and this fresh set of articles is laid out on pastors.com so that pastors can go there and find out just exactly how to transform their church.
Well, aren't they supposed to demonize and marginalize the people who don't want to go along, sort of make them somehow different or queers or kooks?
Well, they'll first try to flatter them and appeal to their ego and win them over emotionally, as Mary was talking about, you know, because if you can seduce people emotionally, sometimes you can bypass their spiritual convictions, and that's been the success of this movement is bypassing. You know, there's an interesting article, you know, this Purpose-Driven Life book that Pastor Warren has written is such a huge success right now. It came out last year, actually, on September 25th, the Baptist Press did a story on it to introduce it to the public, and Aaron Curry was the reporter, and said that Rick Warren, he quoted Rick Warren in the book as saying the goal of his book, that is The Purpose-Driven Life, is to help people develop a heart for the world. That, I know that sounds real warm and cuddly, and many young Christians might not understand the significance of that, especially if they're not very biblically grounded. But the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so this is one of these examples where he will use something that sounds evangelical. It sounds like we're trying to reach the lost, but what you can do is find out he's actually revealing a little bit of truth, a little bit of the sinister modus operandi behind the church growth movement, and that is they're trying to help people develop a heart for the world.
And, you know, there's a new program coming down the line. They're really going to talk about really trying to change the world, trying to change society, and using the church almost for social do-good work. And I see nothing wrong with helping people. But the first purpose of the church is to preach the gospel and to change lives that way. Not, of course, to make you feel good about yourself or to make you want to be sort of like a social worker. Well, let's go to Richard, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Richard. Are you listening to us on the internet there?
Yes, I am. Try to listen as often as I can. I did have a question about this word transformation. I know locally a university received a grant from the Pew Charitable Trust for the transformation of the faculty. That was the purpose of the grant. And I really didn't know what that meant, and I've always been curious about it, and your guest just mentioned the transformation of the church, and I'm wondering, you know, what this word's really all about.
All right. Well, would you like to respond to that?
Well, the church growth movement, this whole paradigm has its own language. Now, whether in the realm you're speaking of, I don't know if it's referring to the same type of transformation into a global consensus or a global pagan mentality, but I would wager to say that there is probably a definite link in there. There's probably some parallels, and they may just not use religious language per se in order to accomplish the same task, which is a kind of a global group think.
Yeah.
So I would be very suspicious because I don't know that any educational institution should be busy trying to transform anyone. I mean, that's kind of a new age. It's become kind of a new age term. And as far as the church goes, as far as our Lord Jesus Christ goes, as far as the Holy Spirit goes, He's the only one that can transform us inside, and we can't transform each other. We're just tools to be used of God. So. in the educational realm, I would say be very cautious and very suspicious of those words, and find out, hold someone accountable, make them explain to you exactly what they mean by transformation, and be careful not just to accept it.
Richard, I would point out that this whole thing of the church growth movement is taken from a man named Peter Drucker, who's almost a century old. Peter Drucker is a transformational Marxist, and his whole idea when he came to America was to transform our society, and he spent about a third of his life learning how to transform corporations. And this whole thing is, how do you manipulate a corporation and then be able to manipulate the people in the corporation to do your bidding? And after changing the corporation, and of course this whole corporate management concept, then they moved into government, and now they've moved into church. And if you read the writings of Richard Heibel and of Rick Warren, they will tell you that Peter Drucker is the sort of the guru of this whole thing. We have a great video, if you haven't seen it, Diaprax in the Church. You need to. And then, of course, it shows you how in these small groups, they get you in there, they confuse you with all the different Bible translations, and then they sort of discuss the consensus, and they remove your individuality, and you become part of the group. Groupthink is what it's all about. Would that be a fair statement, Paul?
Right. It's not about conviction. It's about consensus. It's about coming to a compromise of opinion, because what it boils down to is they try to imply that the will of the group, or the word of the group, or the consensus of the group determines the will of God. Now, that doesn't bode well for men who will stand up and say, no, the Bible says this. It doesn't go along with the group. It's different from the group, and of course those are the people that they marginalize and try to get out of the group or get them to conform to the group.
Okay, anything else, Richard?
Well, I just, I really appreciate that clarification, because I think that's right on target.
If you have a chance, get this video, Diaprax in the Church. It will really explain it in great detail.
Okay, I just wanted to throw out one little item here that I didn't know about from a few years ago, that the Pew Charitable Trust also was involved with with the new congressman that got elected into Congress in Washington, D.C. They would invite them out for orientation before they assumed their duties in Congress. And the Pew Charitable Trust was running this, and I don't know exactly what was involved, but I'm sure it had to do with this consensus building and all that kind of stuff, too.
Okay, thanks very much. Let's go to John, colleague from Southern California. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I was thinking that this might call for someone to do a good job writing a book, maybe calling it Fulfilling the Real Promise of Church Growth, or maybe Repairing the Damage from Church Growth. But to maybe give, there might be something in this that's could be considered constructive, and maybe give them credit for that, to, you know, to increase the solidarity of the congregation or something. But some kind of a good comprehensive treatment that'll let the pastors know they're going to have to preach the word and how they can recover from all the unbelievers that are in their congregation, and the people that are alienated from this, and that still make use of the idea of the popularity of it, and simply point out the what's missing and what people can do in a congregation to offset it.
Well, I would point out that if you take, for instance, snake venom, there are a lot of good things in snake venom. You know, there are vitamins and there are proteins and carbohydrates. But the trouble is, you take the snake venom and it's going to kill you. So just because there's something good in this, doesn't mean that this is not destructive, because the major purpose is manipulation and changing our perspective of ourselves and of our God and our society.
Well, I can see it's destructive, but I'm thinking of somebody can write a book that's an antidote for what's destructive, so that people can be more generally aware of its problems, and also maybe recover the damage that it does to churches, that the pastor might have a resource to realize what the errors were that he made and recover from this experience, whatever you want to call it.
Well, that book was written some time ago, and we all have access to it. You know, the Word of God is faithful.
Oh, absolutely.
He has it all right there for us, and it's when we stray from that, it's when we close our Bibles, that men begin to look to themselves for answers to society's problems and shortcomings, and that's exactly what's happened. See, we run for the herd. We watch where the crowds go, yeah, just like they do in Hollywood, and we say, well, this must be good because so many people are yeah, running for it.
And I think the other thing, John, is that they use all these different translations. And I think yeah, there are some 15 different translations that are recommended in the Purpose-Driven Life. And pretty soon they're all in conflict with one another. And so yeah, what is the Word of God? Well, gee, if I'm supposed to read this, it's the Word of God, but how can your Bible is different than my Bible, his different than his Bible? And people get so confused. And
sure,
this is what it's all about,
right,
is organized confusion. Would you, Paul, talk a little bit about this consensus process and how they have to use the small groups to begin to change our attitude?
Well, the Hegelian dialectic or consensus process was developed in the 1700s by a transformational Marxist by the name of George William Frederick Hegel. And it's, you know, it's being used in business, it's being used in the church, it's being used in government and all realms of society. And basically what you do is get in a group setting, a diverse setting. It can be, less in a political sense, it could be Republicans and Democrats. And in a racial setting, it could be whites and blacks and Hispanics. In a theological sense, a religious sense, you could have Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists. And what they do is a facilitator, and a facilitator is a person who basically manipulates the crowd, the group, towards a preconceived outcome. And what he does is he lets everyone express their opinion, and as this happens, the group's individual convictions or beliefs are processed away, and one by one, the absolutes that you and I take for granted out of Scripture become the fodder of men, and all of a sudden we're following our emotions and our opinions and our personal experiences, and that's a good one right there, personal experiences. That's where we're going, and all of a sudden it's not as important that we're obedient to the Word of God, just that we love one another and just that we have a unity above all else. But I believe it was Adrian Rogers said, I'd rather be divided by the truth than united with a lie. And and that's exactly what happens. In this process, we all become united under a lie, and it's a dangerous process, and it's very subtle. And you have to understand when you get in a group that you're being manipulated towards this preconceived outcome. And the best thing for you to do is get out of this group, whether it's at a church setting, a school setting, a political setting, or a business meeting, whatever.
Amen. Thanks so much for calling, John. And I think that it's so vitally important that people understand this is all manipulation. How do you manipulate the employees of the corporation? How do you manipulate the Christians? And, you know, you would think that the ministers would realize that they're supposed to be representing God. They're supposed to be, you know, relying upon the Holy Spirit to move people and to transform their lives, not on manipulative techniques developed by a transformational Marxist.
Well, they're under the pressure. They're under the peer pressure, same peer pressure we are put in this consensus. And they want their church to succeed. They don't want to be viewed by their fellow pastors and fellow clergymen as being a failure. And the world has redefined for them what a success is. And success is big numbers, big budgets, big churches, big screens. And although they will, those in the church growth movement, the leaders, will tell you, no, that's not what we're about. We should never listen to their words, or at least we should compare their words to their actions, and their actions are speaking something totally different, and they're given to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They're given to pragmatism, pleasure, and pride, which is what is driving this movement, and it's a terrible thing when a man gives up God in order to satisfy his flesh.
Well, do you have a website, or have you written anything that available to people?
I've been writing for many years. The last couple of years, I've been writing for newswithviews.com.
Okay, newswithviews.com, right.
And there you'll find a variety of articles on many topics, most of which, in one way or another, involve the church growth movement.
Well, Paul Proctor, I want to really thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a fascinating hour, and I hope we can get you on some of our other programs. You really articulate this very, very well.
Well, thank you, sir, very much. I enjoyed being with you.
God, bye-bye, and God bless you.
God bless you.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and are you concerned about what's going on over in the Middle East? Are you concerned about the fact we've lost 400 men killed in Afghanistan, 500 men killed in Iraq? And, of course, why did we go to war with Iraq? Iraq had nothing to do with what happened on 9/11. The plans were made to go to war with Iraq long before the 9/11 attack. This was simply the excuse for it. You need to understand the war, and there's no better way to understand the background of what's going on or what the future holds than to listen to my video, Iraq, the Untold Story. Now, this comes with a syllabus, and you really should get the syllabus along with it. You can get the video and watch it, but the syllabus gives you all the documentation, including the material from a website entitled newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. This is a small group of 25 people who planned the war with Iraq starting back in 1997. Who are the people? Why, there were Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, Gary Bauer, William Bennett, all are named on this website. And we actually take the material from their website, we duplicate that, so you can actually see it. Now, you can go to the website and get it yourself, or simply get the Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus, and you'll find that in 1998, they were writing to the president and demanding a war with Saddam Hussein. And, of course, what happened on September 11th? Was, as they described, we're going to need a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. And that's what they got on September 11th. And so the tragedy is American boys are dying for far different reasons than you will ever be allowed to know. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And order Iraq, the Untold Story, or the syllabus, or preferably both. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs for your help as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, and then on the weekends, 35 different stations, and then we do another weekend program about once a month. But our effort is to try to get people to think, to realize that you're not getting the truth from the controlled media. And Radio Liberty is a source of information you're not going to get elsewhere. I've been at this for over 40 years, reading and studying, and now God's given me the opportunity to be on the radio 5 hours every day. So if you'd like to become part of our team If you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, that's the December newsletter, which explains why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools back in the 1960s, and why they've continued to be anti-Christian, anti-Judeo-Christian, why our courts hate the Ten Commandments monument of Judge Roy Moore, despite the fact that a recent CNN poll showed that 77% of the American people disagree with the courts, disagree with the people who control the media, and they think Roy Moore should have the right to display that Ten Commandments monument. If you want to put this all into perspective, you need to read my newsletter. Of course, we hope many of you will want to subscribe to the newsletter, but if you'd like a free copy of our December newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can actually pull the newsletter down. It's there. It's the December 2003 newsletter, and you can pull down newsletters going back into the mid-1990s. And we give you our permission to copy those newsletters, to read them, to circulate them. And, of course, you'll find extensive documentation in each one of them. For instance, if you think we went into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, you're sadly mistaken. In fact, we even have an article out of the, which we offer to our listeners, out of the Washington Times, where a high official is quoted as saying, you know, we don't have a policy of getting Osama bin Laden first. Our policy is Osama bin Laden last, because if we were to get Osama bin Laden, how would we justify the war in Afghanistan? That's what it's really all about. We have another wonderful book. It's entitled Crude Politics by Paul Sperry, who's the senior editor for the World Net Daily in Washington, D.C. And in his book, he points out that the Green Berets who were sent into Afghanistan weren't allowed to go after Osama bin Laden. We didn't go there to get Osama bin Laden. Everything, of course, is contrived to justify the Patriot Act and ever more control over the lives of the American people. And if you're not involved, you're part of the problem. You can either take a stand now and say no on your feet, or you may very well one day be on your knees saying yes. Remember that most men die in foxholes and some go down in flames, but most men die just bit by bit playing foolish little games. They say that a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a brave man dies but once. Which do you want to be? Do you want to join us in this epic struggle to see if this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure? Go to our website at radioliberty.com. And, of course, look at the various things that we offer there. You'll find we offer the Berkey filters, and if you buy them through us, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video we've offered free of charge. You want to get the new video we have, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. You want to get the video going along with the discussion today. It's called Diaprax in the Church, and it covers the church growth movement. That is Megiddo, an excellent video, and Diaprax in the Church. And that you want to get my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then pray for America. Pray for revival, pray for our leaders, and pray for our ministers. But lastly, please, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. So until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.